It's Monday on Afternoon Drive.
Concepcion, the end around. He breaks the tackle. He dives for the pylon. And he's in. Touchdown. KC Concepcion. Fourth and two. They got a throw. Deshaun hit as he throws. Ball is out. Chicago's on top of it. It Bears football.
Sanders throws across the middle, and that is too high, and it is picked off. It is Beanie Bishop returning it into Cleveland territory before he is knocked out of bounds.
Gabriel fires, and he is picked off as well. Picked off at the 48-yard line and running it back. Again, it's Beanie Bishop. The former Steeler has two picks on the day, both on bad overthrows. One by Sanders, one by Gabriel.
I'm not ready to say it yet. The plan was always to get through the Bills game, switch up who was going to start, who was going to play in the second half, and then we'll go from there. Every day's important.
Oh, you're putting words in my mouth. I wouldn't say that.
Would I like to have a decision today? Of course. Would I like a decision by next Monday? Of course. Well, I'd love to have that decision. And we'll see. We've got a lot of football this week. We've already had a lot of football. We've got 4 days of practice in a game. That all adds into any decision with the roster and who the starters are. Some are further along than others, right? We already know. That's part of it. And I'm okay. By the time we get to next week, that'd be great. We can start planning that way, have some practices, and then here we go against Jacksonville.
It's the Afternoon Drive with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin on Cleveland Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
The show is back. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin for the next 5 hours. We got plenty to get to. Little off day for the Guardians. And don't worry, they took off most of the weekend, too. Hey, the Cavs shopping Strus. What's up with that? Oh, and yes, quarterbacks played this weekend, and many people reacted. Definitive takes on three quarters of quarterback play in the preseason. Get ready for it today. That open, courtesy of the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network and News Channel 5, and Jax Gregory on the board. Yes! Hi, Jax. Good to see you, buddy. Jake Murren, Man in the 92 through the Fan YouTube channel as well. And producing. That's kind of the first thing he's doing. But follow all 5 hours live on 92 through the Fan's YouTube channel or the free Odyssey app. And, of course, like our videos, we like to be liked around these parts. Except you, Cornlito.
Suck it, Cornlito.
And Matt Corrali on the 2020s. Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. How's it going today?
Little hungover.
Yeah.
Little hungover.
Okay.
Yeah, just we're gonna start. This is you're the truth broker.
Yeah.
This is an honest program.
I think I've told you before on the list of things I typically know about you when you do shows, hungover you is the worst version of you.
It's not good.
Not necessarily from a production standpoint. We can still get some great takes. I'm not saying you're not gonna have that. No. You get very testy when you're hungover.
Yeah, I don't know. I've actually been very laid back despite my hungover nature today.
Yeah, you seem laid back today for a hungover day.
But it's that I just don't have the energy to put hate into my heart.
Okay, historically, that is the testiest you get is when you're hungover. And then I could say something like, the sky is blue, and you debate me for 45 minutes on it. So, like, that's typically how this goes. I told you, I like sauna in the morning and long walk in the morning, Nick. That's the best version of Nick for me personally.
Well, here's the thing. I did get the sauna in the morning because I realized...
Maybe it balances out a little bit then.
We were a little hungover.
Okay.
We got some White Russians late last night,
yeah.
Which... Again, why I did this, I don't know.
Why didn't you just do it Saturday night? What happened Saturday night?
It wasn't on the brain Saturday night. It should have been. You are correct. I should have been hungover yesterday and refreshed today.
I have no idea how people do these jobs hungover.
We'll see. For the next five hours, we will see.
I don't drink before I have to work the next day because I am a miserable hungover human. I can't function hungover. Nonetheless, try to do a five-hour talk show.
But I knew that I was in trouble when I got out of the sauna, and I still felt like crap. I was like, well, okay, in fairness, you always feel like crap when you get out of the sauna. But like an hour later, I didn't have that awesome bounce back that you can have, where your body's like, I'm so alive, right? And it did not happen.
Did we go beyond, like, I'm assuming we went beyond just tipsy.
Yeah, so the funny thing is, I went to bed.
Did the night just get away from you?
I went to bed tipsy, but I had one full white Russian right before bed.
Yeah.
And so when I woke up to use the restroom at 4 a.m., We were still drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I went to bed tipsy and woke up drunk. You never know how these things go.
Okay, then. Yeah. All right.
But then I went back to bed and slept it off.
I wish you good luck. I wish me good luck on our adventure today.
It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun, especially because we have, obviously, we got to talk about the Browns-Bears preseason game. And one, Deshaun Watson, I thought, looked nice. I actually think the reaction to Shador's performance was actually off what I saw, because I'll be honest with you, I think if we're talking about the quarterbacks on Saturday, we should be grading them on an absolute curve, because the offensive line stunk for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Once you got to the second unit, you saw it with Deshaun, you certainly saw it with Shador, and I honestly feel bad for little fella Dylan Gabriel having to clean up that mess in the fourth quarter with how, when we got to the fourth offensive line, it was just like, these guys don't look playable.
Well, and especially when we got to Shador and Dylan, it very much felt like what we watched them do last year in many senses. It's like, all right, Shador's got to try to put the cape on and make a play no matter what. Dylan at least was throwing the ball a little bit further downfield. That was nice. Mm-hmm. That was at least a development for Dylan, even if he threw it into the defender's hands. It was still a nice development, all things considered.
Still a completion, if you think about it.
I think so, too. You know? I think so, too. Deshaun did not flat-out embarrass himself. I was surprised by that. The expectation I had was flat-out embarrassing. Now, he still had that fumble that was weird, and I guess everyone just refused to put on him at the end of the game.
Yeah, he's gotten the old Peterlin pass for the fumble.
Oh, my gosh. Like, you wouldn't believe. That was
the Peterlin pass.
Unbelievable. And Monken led the charge in that one in the postgame, clearly. But still, I thought he looked better than I thought he would. Was he great? No. Did he push the ball down the field? Absolutely not. But if what they were trying to get was somebody that just didn't fall flat on their face, then mission accomplished.
Yeah, it was interesting. You could see that Deshaun, with his, I think it was a third quarter interview with Aditi on the sideline, Deshaun was smiling. Like, yeah. Deshaun looked, I don't want to say
Aditi
relieved.
And Aditi highlighted that too, by the way.
He looked, that is.
And Monken highlighted that after the fact too.
Like, it's so funny with Deshaun, one of, kind of like an ancillary gripe other than the being bad at football and the baggage that he came with and all the other stuff and the injuries, and there's a lot there. One of my primary gripes is all I had heard about Deshaun in Houston was he would light up any room he walked into, he talked to everyone, he was accessible, and he's just not been that. Now, we can understand why he hasn't been that, but that is as light as I have seen Deshaun Watson, and it was after one half of what I would say is good football in the preseason opener. So there was a part of me that was like, you know what? And even Todd Monken afterwards, smiling, and just, you could tell Todd Monken was happy for him as well.
Monken went a little too far, in my opinion, in that respect.
He smiled too hard. Smiling's his favorite.
He went over the top with his adulation for what he saw out of Watson and how happy he was for Deshaun.
How did he go over the top?
What do you mean, how did he go over the top? Like, it was everywhere. Him saying he's now 100% confident Watson can play winning football, that's one of the strongest indicators I think we'd find. Extremely encouraged, everything that he said. And then he's smiling ear to ear. Like, you could tell there was a part of Monken that didn't believe we would see that version of Deshaun. And then we saw it. And I feel like for somebody in his first year as a head coach, someone that knows if this goes absolutely sideways and he looks cooked, then he might be cooked as well. That, you can do something with that. I'm not saying you can win a lot of games with that, but you're not going to look like Freddie Kitchens if you just have somebody that can complete, you know, actual passes down the field.
I thought that's what's funny, because I like we're trying to base our thoughts on who should start based off what we're seeing, and we're also trying to base it off what we're hearing from the Browns. And I feel like with the way Monken spoke about it, with the way Deshaun spoke about it, I felt like they were talking about it like I was watching a different brand of football. I thought Deshaun looked good. And again, I'm grading on a curve, meaning he probably even looked better than good. I don't know that's, man, he just snatched the job good.
No, I know.
Because that's the messaging that I felt like we got from Todd Monken and the Browns. And honestly, I think everybody's on the same page with that.
I think the difference here is that for 5 months, they had given Deshaun first everything out of the gate. And they propped up Deshaun in a way that we've called out at certain spots. But the idea was they themselves did not know how he would react in an actual game. They had no idea, because nobody could know with Deshaun. The same way when Deshaun first appeared in that Texans game a million years ago, coming off of all the allegations and the year off, he looked miserable. Nobody could have known that was going to happen. And so I think the idea that he just didn't basically fall down and look drunk the entire time was like, well, okay, good. We have, there's something here. It doesn't mean he's God's gift to football, but he's at least not going to throw every ball in the dirt, and he's at least looking around, and the game's not too fast, and he can do something. Doesn't mean he's going to be Peyton Manning, but he can do something. And I think that was a sigh of relief for both Deshaun and for Monken, because we've seen Deshaun go out in these spots and not pass that test before.
But we're just in a weird spot where it's like, I would like to just talk about, I thought Deshaun looked what I hoped he would. He looked like a competent NFL quarterback. And I'm still sort of confused at the adulation from Todd Monken on this. And it might have just been that he was happy for the player, and we might just be confusing that. But even once you start to look at how the practice reps are divvied up, with the fact that Deshaun and Shador are splitting the reps on Thursday against the Bills.
And Deshaun's getting the best practice of the week on Tuesday.
With
the
pads on. Uh-huh. It's just, I'm trying to figure out how that start became something other than what I thought it was, which again was a very good start.
Yeah.
Good start.
It was a good start. Not a very good start. It was a good start. And I like that this is your take on it, because I felt very similar leaving that game. I was like yelling at anybody that would pay attention. He didn't push the ball down the field at all. Like you have to at some point reward the idea that you throw the ball more than Dylan Gabriel and Kevin Stefanski played that offense last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. Was this just an offense, Nick, that was set up for Deshaun to make sure he could just do the basics and just do the easy ins and outs, not throw any of these bad interceptions we've seen in preseason in the camp so far, and just not fall flat on his face? Was that what this was?
Was this a trust exercise?
Almost.
Is it like a trust fall?
Almost. Like, hey, like Monken goes to him, hey, listen, we want the best for you. You're going to look the best if you do this. And just hit the easy spots. Just make the easy throws. We're not going to test it in any sort of way. And just pass that, and then we can see what happens moving forward.
And what's weird is Deshaun, and I think Zach Jackson was the first guy that I saw tweet about it, and then I saw like 100 tweets after it because, you know, Twitter's broken. But Deshaun really still has no pocket presence whatsoever. And I think that's the thing. Like the two things that go beyond just, did you complete the ball? Did you throw it to the right guy? Did you throw it to the right team? The two things that I took away from this game are, one, Deshaun's pocket presence is still, it's like he has no athletic charisma in the pocket.
Yeah.
And then with Shador, I actually thought the team responded to Shador. I thought you could see a different energy when Shador was in there from the guys offensively.
No question.
And so I thought that was really, and again, like, If you want to say Deshaun had the better game, yeah, I'd probably agree with you. But Shador made the two biggest plays. Well, technically three biggest plays of the game with the interception, but the two best throws of the game go to Shador.
And once Deshaun had the fumble, I thought he was spooked a little bit. Like if we played out a whole entire rest of the game, Nick, I think it goes real south for Deshaun Watson after that point. Because and you saw for the couple series he got after the fumble happened, he didn't look the same. He started throwing balls in the dirt. He started missing receivers. And I know he talked about it, and I don't know why this is not getting nearly enough run, Nick. He had numbness in his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Openly talked about it. Why is no one discussing that part of this equation? Like, if we're worried about his health and we're worried about the injuries that constantly pop up, and he said throughout parts of that game he had numbness in his arm. Now, he thought it was just a funny bone issue and everything was going to be fine, but he legitimately had numbness in his arm during that game. Like, that's not passing necessarily the I'm the healthiest guy in the world now check.
Morning.
Morning, Kenny.
Audio courtesy of the University Hospital's Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Well, you ready to call it?
Should we call it? Have we seen enough?
I don't know. There's a few precincts that are still out, but I think I might be just ready to call it. And what's another week? I mean, what's another week? What's the hurry?
Still time to stuff the ballot box?
What's the hurry, I guess? But man, it was you know, when I'm starting off the show with I guess and things like that, it's there we are. What'd you think? All together, come on.
Crazy thing is, I had a very low bar. I had a very, very low bar.
And they still didn't even get to that bar, is what you're gonna say? Oh,
no.
Okay.
I honestly,
the quarterbacks anyway.
Honestly, I in some ways both of them did a little better than I thought they would do.
Really?
Yeah, that was tough because
did you think they were just going to not have arms and be able to, like, they weren't going to be able to hand off or take snaps?
Honestly, because for Shador, I mean, for Deshaun, yes. Deshaun, I had the lowest of low.
Really?
For the expectation.
See, I didn't. I got to tell you, I wasn't overwhelmingly surprised with what he did on Saturday. I wasn't. And I'll tell you why. And this is going to go, you know, this is going to get to be intrigue and nastiness. With him, you've been around for 9 years. You're playing against second teamers. You're playing against base defense. You should be able to complete decent passes. Sam Monson, he went into it a little bit. You know, I know that the depth of target, not being afraid to drive the ball downfield's a feather in the cap for Shador. But when it comes to Deshaun Watson, you know, there was a little bit of Tim in this there. It's the first time he's played in 2 years, for crying out loud. I mean, it's been how many days? Well, over 600 some odd days since he played in the NFL. That's a long time. So I think even though, yeah, I wanted the other guy to win the job. You notice how I said that, by the way. I wanted the other guy to win the job. I still have to take that into account. And so part of that, it's still like, hey, it's going to be basic pitch and catch. Go out there, pitch it. They're going to catch it, and off you go in the first half. And basically, that's for the most part, that's kind of how it was. And when I say the wanted part, because I basically feel like, hey, but we can play it out for another week. Crazy things happen, but I think it's basically about a done deal, don't you? In all honesty, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pound the table for something I don't feel to be realistic or anything like that. It just feels to me like, hey, probably a done deal. Shador will be the backup, and Deshaun will be the starter, and that's the way it's going to go.
Well, especially if you look at what the schedule, I was very, very intrigued. Like, after the game was played, I'm like, all right, the next thing is, let's see what the schedule is this week. I thought that was going to be major, and I think everybody kind of took had a similar takeaway on, oh, they're splitting the reps on Thursday at the joint practice in Buffalo, and then following that up with, yeah, Shador gets to start that preseason game, but he's not going to be playing with the starters. That to me sounds like it's done. That to me sounds like you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't arrange the schedule in that fashion if Shador still had a legitimate shot to really win the job. Because why wouldn't you want Shador to get as many reps as possible in game action with once? And then don't forget, there's a short turnaround. Instead of the 7 days, it's 6 days because it's a Thursday.
That's exactly. So it's the Thursday after. It's the tight schedule, exactly how you said it was divvied up. I'm going, I'm sure there's going to be people who fight it, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of reactions on the internet and things like that, but I'm just trying to be honest with everybody. I'm not happy that it's going to be Deshaun Watson, but at the same time, I can sit here and I can accept that it's going to be Deshaun Watson, because that's the realistic thing. And I don't think that this is the difference. I don't think Deshaun Watson was just handed the job. I do think that there's a thing where you have to go out and you have to earn the job. And I think it was not the best job in the world to have to earn, but it was a job that I think that Deshaun Watson has all but been announced as the one who earned that job going into week one. Unless something terrible happens or something crazy happens or anything like that, I think that he's earned that job. Well, it sounds like you have as well. You've taken to that too.
Earned, I don't know.
Well, you think it was gifted? That's an interesting thought.
What's between earned and gifted? I mean, clearly Todd Monken, I think now knowing everything we know, it kind of does seem like Todd Monken had set this up for Shador, Deshaun to kind of have an edge. And then he took it, and he didn't exactly run with it. He was horrific for the first, you know, how many practices. Now, to be fair also, which no one really wants to be all that fair to Deshaun, it would seem, if you just looked at the social media reaction after the Browns put him for the first time in a long time on some of their social media. I mean, I can't remember the last time the Browns really went out of their way to do that. Zach Jackson called that the soft launch. Like they were almost putting that out there.
I have to agree.
To gauge the reaction. And it wasn't pretty, obviously. It was, Kenny, you always talk about how you mute conversations sometimes. Yeah. And then so you could go about your day. I think the Browns probably did that. They probably muted the conversation.
At one point.
Went about their day?
Yeah. Well, so there's several reasons where I think that it makes sense to start Deshaun Watson. And one of them is, at one point, Nathan had done a count. I got to go back. At one juncture, they had the Browns had, before Devon Booth went out there and had that great big long run, they had 21 carries for 21 or 31 yards.
It was rough.
And this is, and that, why do I bring that up? Your offensive line is going to struggle to start this year.
They will start out the year and probably be one of the, unless Monken really is a magic worker.
Just see, well, George Warhop, I understand, is well regarded, but there's only, like, yeah, you got a number one overall pick there, or excuse me, a first round pick, your first overall pick in a long time. You got your first rounder there, but you still have four guys who are either free agents or young. And I understand what the Bears did, and I keep telling everybody, you got a hell of an athlete behind him, and some of the reasons why he's so popular is because he was making throws when? On the run, under duress. Why is he? I'm sure Ben Johnson would love to just keep him protected and everything just be fine. It was out of necessity last year. So the Bears were used as this example, and I go, yeah, that's where it can go really, really, really right if you have a number one overall quarterback that can play very well. When you don't have that, then you have to try to find the very best you can. And when you don't have a lot of rushing against a two defense, when you're struggling to do that, then a lot of things are going to go, veteran, Deshaun's a veteran. Mobility, Deshaun's more mobile. Those things are going to play into it. And that's why I think that, yeah, I don't think Deshaun's going to have the job for all 17 games, but I do think that he's going to start the season, and I think that the closer we are to accepting that, I mean, it's gotten to the point where I'd be shocked, and I just don't know how much sense it would make if he were to name Shedeur Sanders the starter. Does that make sense to you, too? Like, yeah. It's really apparent, like, I don't think Shador's garbage. I don't think his career's over. I don't like what I'm hearing from some of the people who are big Shedeur fans about it. We'll talk about that at 640. Okay, not right now. But there's just so many things that I go, yeah, you know, I could sit here and deny it, but logically, this leads to Deshaun Watson being the starter. And if you want to carry it out another week and then announce it, go right on ahead. We got the time. But I'm just not really speculating anymore. I'm taking it as Deshaun Watson has the job, and that's where we're going to start the season at.
Yeah, and I kind of get that feeling too. And I'm going to say this as someone who, anybody that's been listening to the show, maybe not necessarily on social media, but people that have been listening to the show know we have both thought, what's really the point here in launching anything, Deshaun Watson? What's the point? The fans don't really want it. Now, maybe some of the players do. I don't know. We have no idea. Players can warm up to anybody because they're forced to, so I don't always put a ton of credence into that either. But I think Todd Monken might have been the feather in his cap of trying to get this job in general, trying to say, hey, watch what I can do with Deshaun. You guys have given up on him. I can do stuff with him. And look, it was very, very... I know there was a lot of motion and stuff and some window dressing on some of the stuff they were setting up, and people were trying to look for differences between Todd Monken and Kevin Stefanski. But I think in general, was that a real game plan or anything like that? No, I don't think that. I think they were trying to ease Deshaun Watson in, and they weren't really all that worried about doing that with Shedeur. So I thought that was pretty telling.
Yeah,
and
what that is,
hey, Shedeur will get his opportunity. That's going to come. They already know, you know, he can air it out and, you know, deliver the beautiful strike to Floria, which was the play of the game. I thought it was interesting that Monken came back yesterday when he had the other media availability and was like, yeah, he's drifting. We got to work on those things.
Yeah.
So that's a coach seeing a really good thing, like a good strike from Shedeur Sanders in game action and having to worry about a blitz and not knowing if you can protect and then being able to launch that ball. It was a successful play to Floria, who's going to be on the cut line, right? On having a chance to maybe make the team more of a special teams and, you know, kind of end of the rotation wide receiver. And he's still a coach. He's like, no, we got to work on things.
Yeah.
This is not perfect. And just combine that with how he talked about Deshaun, it definitely sounded like there was some protection there. And he seemed really, really proud of the work that Deshaun Watson had put in.
Protecting Deshaun, you mean?
He's
protecting Deshaun in a way.
Can
you explain that a little further? I'm not trying to be difficult.
No.
I'm not.
Feel free. Ask as many questions as you
know.
Want.
Let me know what you mean by that.
The way that you could see the glow in Monken's face in, you guys all counted this guy out. He's not oblivious to those conversations. We had him here in studio. He knows the conversations that are had about Deshaun Watson. He knows how his owner sounded like he gave up on Deshaun Watson. He knows that the team wasn't posting any Deshaun Watson social media until really that game. And then the way that Monken talked right after the game, he's like, this was really cool. This was really cool to see somebody left for dead, put all the work in, come back, and look like he may be able to play the position again, even if it's a preseason game.
Do you feel he was talking tough?
Not on Watson.
Okay, because the way you made it sound, it sounds like he's like he's showing you right now. It's like, well, it's been one preseason game.
Not talking tough at all. But in fact, that's what I'm saying. The way that he acknowledged there was a cadence issue with both quarterbacks, he acknowledged they had to take a timeout. Like some of the stuff that we're wondering who has the edge on that, he still acknowledged Watson had issues with that too. But you could tell there was a smile on Todd's face that he feels like he has a chance to resurrect something here. I know none of us really think there is that possibility, but you know what? This is why you got hired. This is what you're here to do. Let's see if miracles can happen.
Fair. I mean, he's a coach, so fair enough. You got to think that you can draw blood from the stone, I guess, but I'm going to remain realistic. And I think the more that we watched...
Yeah, I'm not changing my win total for the year.
No, but I think the more that we watched on Saturday lets us know that, you're straight. I got several of the texts from friends and people who are watching. It's going, hey, man, you were right. Our quarterback is in college. I'm like, yeah, he is. And
I think that was most national takeaways as well.
Kind of where we're at on this, because I didn't think that Watson lit up the sky.
No.
Out there in Chicago. Again, I thought it was a game of pitch and catch. He did what was expected out of a veteran playing against twos, and that's fine considering he hasn't played in 2 years. So I understand that in itself is a victory for him personally. If for Shador, I know that there's a lot being said about the interception. We'll get to that coming up later on. I get that as well. But there's a lot of things being said. It's just like, hey, you know what? Maybe we'll get to a time here. And maybe by this time next week, because I think on the 24th is probably when it might officially happen. When they go, okay, this is who our starter's going to be. I think it's going to be Deshaun. This is who their starter's going to be. And then we'll go on about there. But some of the things that are being said already, as far as excuses, craziness, it's just like, man, this is a preseason game, the first preseason game against the Bears. The Bears weren't taking it necessarily too terribly seriously. We had to go in there and we had to focus on work. And I know a lot of conversations going to be about the quarterbacks. The offensive line was certainly concerning. The lack of depth in the secondary it should be concerning everybody. But I also thought it was the sobering thing of what this season probably is going to be. Because at one point you didn't have any NFL experience out there in the third quarter. And that's a scary situation. If you're thinking that they're going to win, they're going to be a surprise, I should say. If you think that they're going to win six games or five games or somewhere in that neighborhood, it's, I think, accepting reality. 216-474-0092. Are you ready to call up for Watson? Based on what you've heard from Monken, based on what you saw on Saturday, are you ready to call it for Monken? And if you're not, do you dare say you're in denial? Because I think a lot of people thought I'd come in here and deny it. And I'm like, I'm not going to deny it. It was a fine enough performance. And I think that everything for a long time has been pointing to Deshaun Watson. 216-474-0092. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live on the...
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Start things off on the Wisehart Right. We make it right. Call Kyle Wright. Hotline from the Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com. He is Scott Petrak, working hard. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hello, Scott.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Scott, just before we get to the Browns game on Sunday, what was the big press conference this morning? What did you have going on?
Yeah, it was like the groundbreaking kind of for the building that's right next to the practice fields where they're going to have some university hospital stuff. And then there's this cool thing we got a tour of. It's called Browns Experience, and you can go in this, they call it the Cube. It's like virtual reality, and it puts you inside the stadium, and you can like sit or be where your seats are going to be and get what the view looks like.
How'd the press box look? Did you sit there?
They did not let us up there.
Oh, that's
probably
weak.
Not as good as it is at this. I'll tell you what, the new stadiums, the press box are never as good as they are at the old stadium.
No, that's true. They always seem to be up in a corner.
Yep, right? A corner is the way it goes.
Yeah, that's all right. You know, you still get to watch the game. All right, let's get into what we saw on Saturday. So what did you think? I know your headline from your analysis is Shedeur Sanders will get the chance he deserves this week, and it's up to him to capitalize. So you still think this is open competition, right?
I do. And the main reason I say that, guys, is because if they knew that it was going to be Deshaun Watson week one, then get him all the reps right now. Then it wouldn't make any sense to go through with this and continue the competition and give Shedeur Sanders reps this week, reps in the joint practice against Buffalo on Thursday, and then the first half Saturday. Now, you can say the first half Saturday might not be as meaningful because probably a lot of starters from both teams won't play, but the reps during practice this week are meaningful. And Todd Monken said yesterday Shedeur was going to go get the first team reps Monday, Wednesday, and then split them Thursday. So if it's still an open competition, then yeah, I think that signals that it's still an open competition. I think it's been really close the whole time. I know that Watson played better on Saturday in different circumstances, but I didn't think he played better enough where you go, oh, it's his job. So I do think Shedeur still has a chance.
I thought it was interesting that Todd said yesterday that it's only fair. You use the word fair to talk about Shedeur getting stuff this week. What's fair about pro sports, Scott? I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it is, and I think I do think Todd has been really careful about that. That it is a legitimate competition, and you know they're trying to split the reps as evenly as possible and make it as equitable as possible. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't have to be. I don't know if that's because it's such a high profile competition, such a high profile person in the competition, or that he just feels like with this position that you need to be as fair as possible. And I keep going back to it. It's not like Deshaun Watson has played great since April, right? He hasn't. I think he's played really well over the last week and a half. You know, it started on the Wednesday, I think in the second week of camp. And since then, I think he's been pretty good and he's gotten better. And I thought he was solid in the game Saturday, but he hasn't been fantastic. And I think Shedeur Sanders is getting better. And the one, I don't know, gripe, the one area where Watson has an advantage over Sanders is the operation and, you know, getting in out of the huddle and the reading the defenses, which it's important. There's no doubt about it. But I also think that's an area where Sanders will get better the more he does it. And he's a year two guy coming from a system in Colorado where they didn't huddle. So you would expect him to get better at that, but he's only going to get better if you give him those opportunities. So that's why I think it does make sense to keep this fair, and why I think it does make sense to continue it through this week at least.
What do you want to see from Shedeur? Let me backtrack. What do you think the joint practice is going to mean then for both of these guys? Because it sounded like Todd said they're going to split the joint practice.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he said. Yeah. It's going to be important because you're going against a really good team. You know, and Buffalo is a Super Bowl contender. How do they handle it? And, you know, the coaches will tell you they value those joint practice reps even more than the preseason games sometimes. So it's going to be important. You need to see, again, it sounds so, I don't know, lame to keep talking about it, but the operation is important, right? Do they get out of the huddle? Do they have to take a delay a game? Is he reading the defense right? And that's the thing. It's not like Watson has been perfect in these areas. You know, they had to burn a timeout, and he had to delay a game Saturday. So both guys have had issues. I think Shedeur Sanders has had more issues in that area. So you want to see that run smoothly. It be a clean operation. And then you want to see avoid the turnovers. And Sanders has done a good job of that overall through camp. Obviously, he had the one terrible throw Saturday that led to an interception. And, you know, you can't have those. So does he protect the ball? And then does he move the team? Does he still have those big plays? Because that, to me, has been the separator for Sanders. If you're talking about what's his biggest advantage over Watson, it's the consistent downfield throws that he's able to connect on. And we saw the one to Luke Floria on Saturday.
In fairness, the offensive line starters only played two series, but I don't think the offensive line play was very good. What does inconclusive in a preseason game mean about the offensive line that's been revamped?
Yeah, I think they just need more time together, more time on task, more reps in game situations or joint practice situations. You know, Todd Monken said that they haven't solidified the five guys, but it sure feels like they have at least four of the five, that it's going to be Elgton Jenkins at center. You know, Parker Brailsford, the rookie out of Alabama, hurt his wrist or hand, so he hasn't been out there in a while. And, you know, if you're a rookie low pick and you're trying to win a starting job, you can't miss this kind of time in camp in the preseason. So I'm assuming it's going to be Elgton Jenkins at center and probably Tevin Jenkins at right guard. You know, KT Levinson still has a chance. But they can move forward with, okay, these are probably the five guys. And then you try to build that up. You know, Spencer Fano, I think, has been coming on strong at left tackle, which is a really good sign. And, you know, Mike had talked about it. I think part of the reason the line didn't look good, at least from a run game standpoint, was they didn't scheme it up. They hadn't played against the 3-4 front yet in camp because the Browns, you know, have the 4-3. So he doesn't have any doubt that they'll be able to run the ball. You know, pass protection, I think, was okay. But you would hope that it would get better the longer these guys work together.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle-Telegram, BrownZone.com. With the offensive line in mind here, at the beginning of camp, DeJuan Jones is getting first-team reps ahead of Spencer Fano. And then you hear George Warhop before all this say, you know what, I think the guy could be a starter and blah, 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 blah. What did DeJuan play with the 17th string on Saturday?
It's fourth quarter.
He was not in there even with the second stringers. Scott, what's up? Because we heard Monken even say, you know, going from starter to making the roster in a previous comment about DeJuan. What do you think's going on?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that too, Jeff. It's weird. It makes me think, makes me wonder about a couple of things. And nobody's told me this. One, do they think they can trade him? And, you know, you play him late in the game, maybe people can get a look at him. They want to see more of Austin Barber, see where he is. Can he be the swing tackle? And he had his struggles. I thought Jones struggled too when he was in there in the fourth quarter. You know, maybe it's hard to be motivated when you're with the first team a week ago and all of a sudden you're, you know, getting the last reps, you know, close to the last reps of a game. So those are my two thoughts, that maybe Jones didn't take the quote-unquote demotion well, and or the Browns are looking to see if they can get something for him, because you might be able to, for a guy with that size and that potential, he feels like a guy who could be traded. But in order to do that, if you're the Browns, you have to feel good about your backup tackles, and that would start with the rookie third-rounder Austin Barber.
It's funny because you say that, and then I wonder about, like, Tillman, too. And Cedric Tillman, if he's on the trade block, too, or where he fits into the future of this team.
Yeah, I would expect Cedric Tillman to be traded. They have their top five. You know, I think you can throw Tylan Wallace in there as a guy who's going to make this roster. So that's five out of maybe six spots that they keep at receiver. Is it going to be Tillman? And I think you could get something for him. I'm not talking to getting a Pro Bowler, but you could get something in return. And I just feel like that's the direction this is headed. You know, he's shown up at camp. You know, he's made plenty of plays. He got hurt right at the end of he didn't practice the last practice they had last week. So I don't know where that stands right now, but I don't feel like he's going to make this team or be on this team when the regular season starts.
Yeah, I was hoping for Luke Florio too, but the fact that Monken called him 81 yesterday, I was like, oh, he doesn't know his name. Oh,
yeah,
man.
You don't think that's a good sign?
That's a bad sign.
Scott.
I don't know. I wanted to make team. At least leave him on the leave him on the practice squad. Come on, man. Local guy. Give him a shot.
I'll tell you what. I mean, you know.
It was a nice catch.
Luke's got, he shows up in practice. He really does. Now, he's small, and I don't know if he's the fastest guy in the world, so there's certainly things he has to overcome. But he continues to show up, and I do think he'll wind up on this practice squad.
All right. Well, that sounds good. That's a hopeful thing. So, all right, Scott, thank you. We know we appreciate you, and I know, you know, we hope to have you on earlier, but I do appreciate you still doing the show with us here a little bit later in the day. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Scott Petrak, super friend of the show. Make sure you read him every day. Chronicle-Telegram, BrownZone.com. What'd you think of what Scott said? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.